life and talking with the Lord, like I'm talking to you right now, and seeking to do God's will. Lord, and when we go through things in life, sometimes rather than fight what we're going through, we need to stop and be still, amen, and let the Lord know that we need to hear a word from him. Lord, is this your will? Amen. And if it is, amen, show me how to respond to whatever it is that I am experiencing. It could be something good or it could be something not so good. But either way it go, we still going to praise the Lord. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's the beautiful thing about our faith. Amen. Is that we will praise the Lord. Amen. Through good times. Praise the Lord. And it's easy to praise him when we're going through some good times. Am I right about it? Praise God. We will praise the Lord all day long. Amen. Bless God. But when you're going through some situations, when you're going through some challenges, then will we still, by faith, right? Because that's what we're doing, walking by faith. See, if you have faith, then you can still praise the Lord. Can I get a witness? Because we know that God keeps his promises, and we know that he keeps his word. Right? Now, although we may not understand what it is that we're experiencing, and in some cases, amen, we may not know, amen, what the ultimate purpose is, but we know that God has a purpose, and whatever it is we experience, good or bad. The Bible said, and you know that all things, right, do what? Work it together for good to those who what? Do you love God? Well, you got to know then that it's working for good to them that love God. I love God. So despite what I'm going through, I'm going to hang on in there. I love Jesus. So despite what challenges I'm going through, I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm still going to bless him every day. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to spend time with him. I'm still going to go to church. Bless God. I'm still going to witness and tell others about the goodness of my God. See, our faith is not contingent, like I said on last week, about how I feel. But we'll deal with that emotions later, okay? But we're dealing right now with, so now, over in Jeremiah, let me just go right over to Jeremiah, over in the Old Testament. Amen. Over in Jeremiah, it's after Psalms and Proverbs, amen, past Isaiah. Amen. In the Old Testament, you'll find Jeremiah. We're going to look at the 18th chapter. Praise the Lord. I'm going to wait for you. If you get to Ezekiel and Daniel, you passed it. Amen. And certainly if you get to Malachi, we know we passed it. We'll go back. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Here we go. All right. Okay, you there? Amen. All right. We're going to deal with the potter, and then I'm going to deal with Naomi, which is a really interesting story that's going to relate to our message today, which is really interesting. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm starting off in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. Amen. And it says here, the word of the Lord. The what? The word of the Lord. Amen. Some people say, I just want to hear what? The word from the Lord. I want to hear what? A word from the Lord. Amen. Well, the word of the Lord, the Bible said, came unto the prophet Jeremiah. Now listen. Anytime the word of the Lord comes, it comes saying. Somebody say saying. The word of the Lord came, but when the Lord, word of the Lord comes, it comes saying. So we have to be in a position to hear what the word of the Lord is saying. That's good, right? Now let's go to verse 2. It says, arise and go. Now here's the instruction.
Because sometimes God will give us instruction. We want to be obedient, because when the word of the Lord comes to us and God gives us instructions to do something, we have to do it. We have to get up and do what the Lord say do. Because listen, there's a blessing in obedience. Even on Sunday morning, amen. I know some of us sometimes may not feel like getting up and going to church, amen. I understand that. But your blessing, amen, is in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And so he says, arise and go to where? To the potter's house. All right. That's right. To the house of God. The potter in this text represents the Lord. Now, I'll show you now. Mm-hmm. But it says, arise and go to the Lord's house. Uh-huh. And he says, there. Somebody say there. There, he said, I will cause thee to hear my words. Well, I don't have to go to church today. Well, if God said go, you need to go, because your blessings is going to where? To wherever it is God told you to go. In this case, he told Jeremiah to do what? Go to the potter's house. Amen. If you found yourself at the ironsmith house, you're in the wrong place. He said what? The potter's house. He didn't say the ironsmith house. He said the potter's house. Why? Because God was going to show Jeremiah something, just like he's going to show us something if we find ourselves, what, in the right place. Come on, somebody say amen. He says, and there I will cause thee to do what? Hear my words. He said, I will cause thee to do what? Hear my words. God's going to do it. He's going to put us, when we have the desire to hear a word from the Lord, guess what? This is the reason why I'm so excited. I'm always excited about preaching the word of God. That's what God called me to do, is preach the word of the Lord. I'm always excited about it, because this is the reason why. And this is so powerful. Creflo said this, and this, he was so true about this. Amen. Watch it now. Watch it. Are you ready for this? The anointing. Somebody say the anointing. The anointing of the Lord. Amen. Destroys, the Bible said, every yoke. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Uh-huh. So based on the need, based on us coming to the house of the Lord, calling out to God, say, God, I need to hear from you. Based on that, then God comes in, because God manifests and revealed and inhabits what? The praise of his people. He comes right into the midst of his people, and he calls it. Watch it now. Watch it. He calls it an anointing. You know about that anointing, right? It's not hard to preach a message when the Holy Spirit, somebody say Holy Spirit, moves in upon the congregation, upon the pulpit, and speaks the word of God. It's not hard to preach. Because when the anointing comes, the Holy Spirit comes in, he empowers. Somebody say he empowers. He empowers his word. And those who are speaking his word, and guess what he also does? And those also who are hearing his word. Isn't that awesome? Let me move on now. Now, in verse 3, it says, then I went. Obedience. Get up and go. Arise and go. Go down to the potter's house. He said, then I went to the potter's house and look. He said, and behold. Behold means to take a look. Pay attention. He says, behold, he says. Uh-huh. He says, he wrought. Watch it now. He did what? Wrought a work. Somebody say wrought a work. God is wroughting a work. Watch it now. In each and one of us. Isn't that something? Amen. When Jeremiah went to the potter's house, amen, the Bible says when he got there, the first thing that he recognized is that God was working a work. And that's what we have to understand. Whatever we're going through in life, we have to understand, as children of God, God is working a work in who? In us, in me, in you. Behold, he wrought a work. He wrought a work. Somebody say, he wrought a work. Now, listen, because remember, God said the work that he began in you, he's going to finish it. He's going to complete it. so that after everything is said and done, amen, you're going to be a vessel. Somebody said vessel. Fit for the master's use. God doesn't use any vessel. He uses a vessel that is fit for the master's use. Come on, somebody say amen. We are those vessels that God is forming. God is shaping. God is molding into a vessel, a container, amen, that is able for God to use you. He wrought a work. Where did he wrought the work? On the potter's wheel. Somebody say, on the potter's wheel. Oh, my God. Sometimes, amen, we're on the potter's wheel, amen, and God is working a work in us, through us. He's trying to mold us. Amen. He, like Joyce Meyer said, you know, God began to apply the pressure in certain areas, and it begins to hurt. And what happens? Many times people's immediate response is, ouch, that hurts. And what's the first response is? They jump off the wheel. Listen. God cannot wrought a work in you unless you stay on the wheel. Submit to his will and stay on the wheel. Submit to his W-I-L and stay on the W-H-E-L-L. Amen. Stay on the wheel. Touch your neighbor and say, stay on the wheel. See, because I once heard a lady ask a question. You know, she said, well, you know, it wasn't until I came to Christ till I started going through all these tribulations. Yeah, but that's all right. Amen. I may be going through some tribulations that I may not have experienced before, but now by faith I came to Jesus. Now by faith I'm walking. And if I don't understand what I'm going through, I'm sure enough not going to jump off the wheel. Because what? God is working what? A work while I'm on the wheel. Verse 4. And he said, and the vessel, the what? The vessel that who made? God is making a vessel in us. Huh? We are the vessels. God is the one that's forming us. God is the one that's making us. That's the reason why the world ought not be forming us. Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible said, be not conformed to this old world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And who is it that renews our mind? It's God. Who is the one that forms us? It's God. Mm-hmm. So it says here, and the vessel that he made of clay, red clay, dust. The Bible said it was marred in his hands. Somebody say it was marred. It was marred in his hand, or in the hand of the potter. And the Bible said, so he made it what? Again. What? Another vessel. Not that old vessel. That's the reason why when we become born again, we're not the same old person. Amen. We may look the same, but I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away and all become new. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. He made another vessel. What? Here it is now. As it seemed good to the potter. God can do that. And it's wonderful that he can, because if we remain in the blessings of the Lord, you'll find out even God will reward you for whatever it is you go through in life. He will reward you with a hundredfold blessing. Amen. All right. So I'm going to come back to 5 and 6. So we see then that God is working on each of us. The Lord is revealing in the text that that as he performs his will in our lives, he is doing a work in us. Sometimes it may not feel like it, or it may not look like it, or at times it may feel like you would like to take another path. Another path, Lord. You mean to tell me I got to go through this? What is this I'm going through? And I got to go through this? Huh? But my word to you today is stay on the wheel. You see, the Lord cannot do in you what he would like to do if you jump off the potter's wheel. It says a marred vessel. It says the vessel that God has made was marred in the hand of the potter. And so we must understand that as perfect as we may look at ourselves or others may see, amen, but we must understand we are what? Marred vessels, marred clay, apart from the master's hand. Imperfection. Somebody say imperfections. Imperfections that we cannot see unless placed under the inspection of the one who created us. Imperfections like selfishness, disobedience, hatred, malice, and the like. We are a vessel that is a product of God, yet needs some molding, some shaping. Somebody say amen. Now let's talk just shortly about that pressure applied. Amen. For if you take a look at the potter, anybody ever had a pottery class? Amen. You start off with what? A lump of clay. It has no form whatsoever. It just is a lump of clay. It doesn't look like anything. That's right. You put it on the wheel. And it spins, and as it spins, the potter applies pressure at pressure points. And at those pressure points, it formulates certain shapes of the vessel. Amen? Uh-huh. And so the pressure that is applied. So God, listen, must apply some pressure in order to get, watch it now, the desired results. The problem is many have not developed the ability to roll with the pressure and allow the potter to perfect the vessel. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, what, Lord, that the trying of your faith is going to be tested. Don't, we can't go around and say, I got faith. Amen. Our faith has not been tested. Because if your faith is not tested, you're just making a statement. But if it hasn't been tested, you don't know how you're going to respond. Come on, somebody say amen. I got faith, but my next question is, have you been tried? Have your faith been tested? Because you don't know if you really got faith unless you test it, so you can exercise that faith to know that you got some faith. Because faith is not going to give up when you're in the deepest challenge in your life. Amen. Faith said, no, I'm going to hold on. Faith, I'm going to stay strong. Faith said, I'm going to keep on believing God. Despite knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I once heard a person say, well, you know, it doesn't have any redemptive. Oh, yes, it does. The scripture says it. It says that knowing this, you need to know it. Knowing what? That the trying of your faith do what? Worketh patience. If your faith is not tried, there's no patience that's going to be worked in you. So then when you go through something, you're not going to have anything to draw from. And the minute you go through it, you're going to give up, throw up your hands and say, see, I told you what nothing about that thing in the Bible, nothing about that thing called faith. I told you it was nothing about that thing called Jesus. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it is doing something. It is working patience. See, because you got to have some patience when you're going through things and keep on holding on. Huh? Now listen, in verse 4 now, it says, but let patience do what? So patience then, amen, is performing a work. So if patience is performing a work, I submit to you that it does have some redemptive value. Amen. What value does it have, Pastor? Here it is right here. So that you may be perfect. That's the value it has. That you can be that perfect there. Let me explain this to you. That perfect there word means mature. Mature. Okay. So it says that the trying of your faith, work of patience. It said, let patience have its perfect work. What? So that you may be mature. So there is some maturity that comes from the result of our faith being tried. And then we come out of that, then we come out more mature. We come out closer to the Lord. We come out with even more faith, knowing that if he brought me through this one, I know he can bring me through the other one. That we've grown some. We've developed some, right? It says that ye may be perfect and what? Entire and what? Wanting nothing. You'd be totally satisfied in Jesus. Glory to God. All too many people, when experiencing pressure, want to jump off the wheel and therefore halt the progress of what the Lord is doing in their life. When they feel the pressure, immediately they become discouraged or disenchanted. We got to remain in faith. How can one become what he can be unless he or she goes through the pressure and come out on the other end a better person? Psalms 119 and 71 says this: it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may what? So that I may what? So that I may learn. Come on. So what? I may learn. Amen. What? Thy statutes and thy ways. Huh? Listen, I wouldn't be who I am, amen, if I cursed the pressure that God applied so that I could be a vessel fit for the master's use. Now, let's just quickly look at somebody as an example of submitting to the will of God and going through some challenges. And sometimes you may go down, amen, but if you keep on believing the Lord, he's going to bring you back to the place you ought to be. Yeah, come on, somebody say amen. You know, there's some truth to the song, Lord, lift me up where I belong, or where we belong, because there's a place that we belong. Stop believing the devil and buying into his deceit, because if you follow him, he's going to take you down, and it's going to take longer to come back up now. Come on, somebody say amen. If you start where you are and you walk in God's obedience and God's will, he's going to take you up further. Amen. But if you listen to the devil, he's going to cause you to have to backtrack. Come on. He's going to take you down. And now I have to make up the lost time and distance now in order for me to get back to where I ought to be. Come on, somebody say amen. So look. Let's take a look at Naomi. You guys remember Naomi in your Sunday school and Ruth? This is a very interesting text here. Let's look at this. All right. So turn over to Ruth. Over in Ruth, it says here, and so they went unto, I'm sorry, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. They too being Ruth and Naomi. All right. Now you got it. When you get a chance, go back, read this story. It's a very interesting story. And there's a lot behind that. All right. So they came unto Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city of God. Somebody say the city of God. Can I tell you, your blessings is in the city of God? Your blessings is in, like you always hear me say, in the place of blessing. You move yourself out of the position to be blessed when you move yourself out of the place of blessing. Bethlehem, somebody say Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. But listen, remember what I said about that house of bread a minute. And it says, and so it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city were moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, we talk about the will of God and allowing the will of God to work in our life. But sometimes we can make the mistake and get out of the will of God by some decision that we make, and find ourselves in a place that we really ought not be. But that's okay, because God has a redemptive value. God has redemption. And God is always a recovering God. He allows us to recover from our mistakes. He allowed us to recover from the bad decisions that we made. We may find ourselves in a position that we really shouldn't be in, because it wasn't meant for us to be in that position according to God. But the good news is that God can bring us up out of that situation. Don't you lament in the wrong decision. That may have been one decision that's just a part of your life. But listen, God's going to bring you up out of that place. Come on, somebody say amen. Because Naomi and Ruth, amen, was in some place that they ought not have been in. And therefore, amen, they were experiencing some great challenges, destitute. They didn't have anything. They didn't start out that way. but they found themselves in there because they made a bad decision. Because they were looking at what it looked, the natural. You know, sometimes we look at the natural and we think our blessing is in the natural. It's not. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows the whole story. Am I right about it? Yes. Yeah, so that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't look at things like what it looked like. You know, people say, well, the grass is always what? Where? It always looked like it's better over there, but when you get there, you find out it looked green. See, but by the time you get there, the grass is going to be brown and withered and dead, and that land that you thought was a land of blessing to end up being, that's right, Sister Quinn, a dried up place. Why? Because God didn't lead you there. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say now. The place that God leads you and places you in and tells you to go, that's where you, I don't care if you're going through a famine, stay there. And let me say this, by the way. Sometimes people seem to think, you know, they start going through all these challenges, you know, that life is in an uproar, they had this happen and that happened, and the first thing they want to pick up and move. Well, I'm going to leave Los Angeles. I think I'll go to New York. I think I'll go to Chicago. Let me tell you something. The same problem you experience right here in Los Angeles, when you pick up and go to New York or when you pick up and go to Chicago, it's going to be the same problem because the place is not the problem per se. Amen. I think I'm gonna move because it looks like the economy is. I can find a job over in Chicago. No, God, listen. God can find your job right here in L.A. You don't have to move all the way to Chicago to get a job and lose your family and your support system over in Chicago. God has the power to give you a job right here in L.A. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, now I'm getting there, y'all. So you'll see somebody say, well, how did he get there? Let me show you. Can I show you? Let me show you. It said, and it came to pass that they went to Bethlehem and that all the city were moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, you got to ask. Now you got to know the background and understand what's happening when they ask the question, is this Naomi? Come on, because to get the full impact of the text, you need to understand who Naomi was. Naomi, first of all, means blessed. It means cheerful. It means joyful. It means blessed. Listen, Naomi means the pleasantness of Jehovah. The blessings and the pleasantness of God. Now remember, Naomi returned back to Bethlehem, but she returned back to Bethlehem a changed person. She left blessed. She came back destitute. She left happy and joyful. She came back bitter. Let me show you. So it says here, let me go back. So in verse 20 it says, and she said to them, after they asked her, is this Naomi? She said to them, call me not Naomi. Woo, glory. Her experience got her to the point where she was so bitter, she said, don't even call me by my name. No, hold on a minute now. I'm getting there. So here in the book of Ruth, we see here Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem, the city from which their blessing started from. From which their blessing started from. Okay? And if you find yourself in Moab, which is where they were before they got back to where they should have been, amen, and diminished of what God originally blessed them with, then I say it's time to return to Bethlehem. Go, that's right. Go back home. Go back where you start. Go back where your blessing started from. Amen. See, sometimes even as a young person, we kind of fall away and kind of the world can lull us over here. But if you find yourself in a place where you know you ought not be, ain't nothing wrong with going back home. Going back to that place where you started from, where your blessing started from. Come on. Is that right? If you find yourself in Moab, ain't nothing wrong with going back to Bethlehem. Amen. You find yourself out in the world, ain't nothing wrong with getting back into the church. Come on. That's where your blessings are. Is that right? If you gave up on God, then it's time to acquire more faith and trust in the Lord. The text says, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? Why did they ask the question? Because she didn't look like the same person that she left. Her countenance changed. Her look changed. Her actions changed. Her conversation changed. Is this Naomi that I know? Maybe because she didn't look like the person that she was when she left. Life's experiences caused her to appear to be a wholly different person. After all the afflictions and challenges, now she had become a bitter person. Oh, how many people become bitter with God when things do not go the way that they had hoped or planned it would. But my question is, are you willing to allow God's will to be done in your life so that he can make you a vessel that he can use? Naomi, out of bitterness, said, "Do not call me Naomi." Isn't it ironic that Naomi means my joy, the pleasantness of God, which suggests that all that is charming, pleasant, and attractive, yet Naomi had become no longer his joy or the pleasantness of Jehovah. She had become bitter. Bitterness can rob you of your joy. Bitterness can rob you of the pleasantness of God when no one wants to be around. Bitterness can rob you of the person you once was or can be. Bitterness looks at everything in a negative way. Bitterness causes deep sorrow. A deep sorrow can cause bitterness and a failure to see what can become at the expense of so focusing on what did not materialize in your life. Naomi's condition was born out of her experience. And I've come this morning to let you know that every experience need not define you. You see, you have to understand Naomi's beginnings. Naomi, when she